Hi, I'm Wally Weeks. I'm a family practice physician, and I've been in private practice for 36 years. I recently retired from that. I also have a master's degree in public health. Today, I've been asked to talk about COVID. And I know most of you are probably thinking, COVID, haven't we heard enough about that already? So basically, I'm going to talk about a few updates, just a few things. Anyone who's been paying attention at all knows that cases are on the rise, unfortunately, all over the world, but especially in the U.S. We've hit a lot of milestones, not in a good way, and that's rather disappointing. Bringing it closer to home, Georgia has also had a run on new cases. The slightly good news in that is the death rate is not actually going up, but we're concerned that it could be. At any rate, new cases is never a good thing. The other things I want to touch on are the fact that there's some new guidance. And primarily the new guidance is around masks. When we first started dealing with this, we were saying masks should only be worn by medical professionals. People on the street don't need to wear them. You don't need to wear them at home and so forth. Well, fast forward the last 3 months, and we've got a lot more evidence from around the world, from different countries that have done things different ways, and from research done right here as well. What we know now is that masks do make a difference, that they can decrease the transmission of the disease by possibly up to 50%. Not only do they help keep from giving it to someone else, but they even help you keep from getting it. So there are important reasons around wearing masks. Let me talk a little bit about masks, because there's a lot of questions about that too. And some people say, well, I don't know what kind of mask I should wear. I'm going to start by saying any kind is better than no kind. Even a bandana is better than nothing. Homemade mask made out of cotton, two layers, three layers, depending on the weave, those are fine. There are so many things online about how to make them, folding up handkerchiefs and using rubber bands and different things like that. And now, fortunately, you can buy them a lot of places as well. So get a mask, wear a mask. It doesn't need to be an N95. We're still reserving those for people working with highly infectious people in the hospital, and they're in short supply. But the homemade or bought off the shelf type of mask, those are all very helpful. They do not, however, replace the other guidelines, which is washing our hands, distancing at least 6 feet, not going in crowded groups or larger groups, staying home if you feel sick, coughing or sneezing in your arm or tissue. Those things are all still vitally important. Another thing people ask about masks are, don't they get dirty? And certainly they do. Most masks that are homemade or that you buy can be washed. They can be washed in a washing machine, dried in a dryer. They can be washed out with soap and water by hand, hung up to dry. Any of those methods work. If you can't wash it out, the COVID virus will die on most surfaces in a matter of a few hours to a few days. So if you have two or three masks and you're only wearing it every 2 or 3 days, even that is probably adequate. It's better than not wearing one. Washing it, however, is still better. And don't forget the other basics that go along with that. In terms of masks as well, some people have some confusion about how do I put it on? How do I take it off? So the first thing to remember with that, again, going back to the basics, is clean hands. So wash your hands first before you handle a mask. So once you've washed your hands, then you put the mask on, and you may have to do a little adjusting with it. And since I wear glasses, I like to just take those off and then put them back on, and that helps. This mask is a little bit big. It lets a little air out around here, around here. Here's a very simple thing you can do to help with that. This is three rubber bands just looped together. Rubber bands come in lots of sizes, so you might have to experiment on that. But you can loop those together. You can fit those over your ears. You can take this middle part, put that up over your nose, put that under your chin. And this makes a very effective suit. It's not real tight, doesn't smother me, but it's very effective. When you take the mask off, again, if you'll use the ear loops, that helps keep from contaminating your mask further. I can hang the mask up, wash it, whatever like that. Wash my hands again. Other things that I want to talk about are testing, because there's some new information on that. There are basically two types of tests for COVID. There's antigen test and there's antibody test. Antigen tests are the kind where they swab up your nose, and those tell you if you have the disease right now. Is that virus active in my body? That's what an antigen test tells. There are several companies that make these, and depending on the company, they can take anywhere from an hour to come back to 5 or 6 days or even a week to get those back. They vary in terms of their accuracy, and that's unfortunate, but it's just the fact of what we're dealing with. So if an antigen test is done, a swab, and it comes back in 5 to 7 days, that tells me I was infected then or I wasn't infected then, or the test might be wrong. You can't rely on them 100%. So just to follow up on that part, if you've got symptoms, if you've got fever, if you've got cough, if you've got shortness of breath, if you've got nausea and diarrhea, low energy, those kind of things, symptoms of COVID, even if you have a negative test, don't ignore those. The test could be wrong, so you need to isolate, you need to call your doctor, you need to check up on that. But assuming the test does come back and it says negative, the other thing to remember is that was 5 or 7 days ago. It could be that I wasn't infected enough for it to be positive at the time it was taken, or that I've gotten infected since then. So a negative test is not a reason to go out and say, I don't have it, I can do whatever I want to, I don't have to wash my hands or wear a mask or stay away from people, because it is not a guarantee. So the other test I want to talk about is the antibody test. Antibodies are what your white blood cells make to attack the virus in your body. So when you get an antibody test, that's going to be a blood test. That is typically sent off to a laboratory, and it may take, again, 5 to 7 days to come back, sometimes longer. There are different ones run by different labs, and there's a big backlog right now to run those, so it can take some time to get those back. What an antibody test tells us is if I have antibodies, then we can fairly safely assume, if the test is accurate, that I've had the COVID virus and that now my body has built up antibodies to attack that. What we don't know is, have they completely killed the virus? Is the level I have high enough that I won't get it for a while? Does it make me immune in the future? Those kinds of things. The part about immunity in the future, though, right now the studies seem to show that while someone who has antibodies may be immune for a short time, they are not likely to be immune for life or for very long. There have been a few reported cases of people having antibodies who seem to be totally well and then come down with COVID again. So an antibody test doesn't give you a license to say, I've had it and I'm immune to it and I can't give it to anyone. There are no officially approved drugs for treating coronavirus. It is still difficult. It's not like there's a new antibiotic and that will kill it. Besides, it's a virus, it would have to be an antiviral. There is a drug called remdesivir that being used on an emergency basis. It does seem to shorten hospitalizations in certain people at certain stages of the disease, but it is not a silver bullet. It's not a cure-all, but it is some help. The other one that's come out is an old drug called dexamethasone or Decadron, which is a steroid, and that's been around a long time. What it does is it lowers the body's inflammatory response to the virus. And sometimes it's that inflammatory response that causes actually more damage than the virus itself. So by tamping that down, it is helping some people get through certain stages of this disease. Again, it doesn't work for everybody at every stage, but it is another helpful item that is used in hospitals. The third thing they're doing in hospitals is they're using convalescent plasma. This goes back to the antibody, where they're taking blood from someone that's had it, they're purifying that, and they're using those antibodies from someone who was infected and giving them to someone who is currently infected to try to fight that virus off with the other person's antibodies. That hasn't proven very effective yet. They're still working on it, but it is another thing. So all of these treatments are just marginal. Mostly they're still just supporting people, giving them fluids, giving them oxygen, putting them on ventilators when they need to be. Those are the mainstays of treatment still, but those three treatments are more specific and somewhat helpful. There are at least 170 trials going on involving vaccines all over the world. So the good news is there has been a lot of cooperation with that, and there are a lot of very good minds working on this. There's a lot of money, there's a lot of science being poured into this. In the past, everyone would say, oh, it takes 2 to 5 years at least to develop a vaccine. And now in record time, we seem to be fairly close. There are 3 front runners right now. I won't go into the names of those and how they work, but the fact is there are 3 right now that are in clinical trials in human beings as we speak that are starting to go forward. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to come out and be approved tomorrow. We have to be sure about the safety of these things. So, number one, do no harm. We want to make sure these are safe. And number two is, do they work? And do they have side effects? That goes back to the safety. And how do they work? How long do they work? How many doses do we need? What's the right dose? So all those things are being studied right now all over the world in a lot of different places. And again, every day I read new stuff about these coming out. This is looking good here. This is looking good there. It looks like, to be optimistic, but I think fairly realistically, that we might have a vaccine by the end of the year or early next year. Once we get a vaccine, it still has to be manufactured. That takes some time. Then it has to be distributed out all over the world, really. Then people have to be able to get it. So from the time that it gets approved, there's still a lag until people get it. Even after people get a vaccine, it takes a certain period of time for the vaccine to work in their body and make them immune. That brings up the issue of herd immunity. Does everybody have to get the vaccine? And that's been a confusing topic. But if you look at the science of herd immunity, what we need for this to work is a vaccine that's at least 70% effective. To put that in perspective, flu vaccines are generally around 50% effective or so, and we consider that pretty good. But if we really want to stop COVID, we need one that's more like 70% effective. So hopefully one or all three of these will be. We also need it to be taken by about 70% of the population to get that herd immunity. And what herd immunity means is that enough people are immune to this disease so that it can't just freely travel along. If you have 70% of people who are immune, that more or less is going to protect the other 30%. Not completely, but it goes a long ways. There are some people that think just letting a lot of people get the disease and get immunity is a way to go. That's been tried in at least 2 countries around the world. That turned out to be a bad strategy. More people are dying in those countries. And as we've talked about already, just because you have antibodies doesn't mean you can't get it again. What we really have is you and me and everybody else. If we do our part, we can stop this thing. We can save, in the United States, the estimates are 40 to 80,000 lives if we just do what we can do already. Wash our hands, cover our coughs and sneezes, social distance, 6 feet or more. Stay home if you're sick. Don't go out in crowds. And now the new information, wear the mask. We'll get through this. We'll get through it together. There's some light at the end of this tunnel. All the best.